The Run Home with Ox and Marco.
Now, the Socceroos today have named a 30-man preliminary squad to take on Honduras. And our man from the Herald Sun, he's the chief soccer writer for Beauty Block, 281 Bay Street, Brighton, the perfect place to send your lady. Ox and I do. Pop in or go to beautyblock.com.au. His name is Dave Davutovic. G'day, Dave.
G'day, boys.
Any surprises, buddy? Yeah, we're both well. Any surprises in this 30-man squad?
No, not really. I mean, Mile Jedinak, the captain, is probably the big surprise, although he was named a month ago and didn't make it. He's played 45 minutes of football since early June, when he made his last Socceroos appearance. And those 45 minutes were on September 12th for Aston Villa. He started and he came off at half-time because his groin was playing up again. He had off-season surgery, and for whatever reason, he pulled up lame. So he was rehabbing it again, and now he's back in full training. And the big question is whether he will be ready for these games. So Sunday, Aston Villa plays Birmingham City, and that'll be pretty decisive. If we see him on the team sheet and see him get minutes, I reckon he's a big chance for Honduras. But if he fails to make the team sheet, then I think he might be struggling. But he's still got two more games thereafter, but the squad will be cut to 23 next week. So I don't know what Angie's thinking.
I'm just wondering about everything that's spoken about Ange and everything that's spoken about the Aussie side. Do you still think they're galvanised? Do you still think that they are together in this, or do you think there are splinters and it's starting to fracture a little bit?
Yeah, it's interesting because there's this obviously this hullabaloo in Australia with Ange's future and, you know, conjecture and all that. Now, I reckon the A-League boys would be aware of it, Mark Milligan, Tim Cahill, etc. Matt Leckie over at Hertha Berlin and, you know, Aaron Moy over in, at Huddersfield, I don't think they would be exposed to it. So, they would obviously get a sense of what's happening. But no doubt once they come into camp, it will be a big talking point because, you know, a lot of the media questions will be based around this issue. Mm. You know, will Ange stay? Should he coach at the World Cup, etc.? So it'll be really intriguing to see, A, how Ange Postecoglou handles this in terms of his press conferences and, you know, public appearances, and B, his address to the players because he addresses them all when they come into camp. And you'd just love to be a fly on the wall for that one, boys, when they come into camp in Honduras in early November.
Well, you tell me, Dave. I mean, they've been under Ange for a long time. Ange is trying to get them into a World Cup. If they beat Honduras, they're going. I mean, if I was a player, I would want Ange there, particularly if I liked Ange. And I imagine the players do like him. I imagine the thought of Ange maybe not being there, the players are probably going, what the hell is going on? But how do you see it? I mean, if you were a player, wouldn't you expect the bloke who got you this far to take you the rest, regardless what was on offer?
Yeah, you'd expect that. And look, Ange is one of those, he's been pretty open in saying he doesn't, you know, have a relationship with his players. He's just that sort of coach who, you know, keeps it very professional. So I don't think there'll be blokes tapping him on the shoulder going, Ange, so you're hanging around till Russia or not? You know, he'll deliver his message to the players and they'll go from there. You know, there's been a lot of rumours about splinters in the group and players falling out with the coach and him losing the dressing room. I think those have been massively overstated. There's certainly players that would be unhappy, but, you know, they'd be more the fringe players, which is stock standard when players are missing out on selection and squads. You know, Aaron Moy obviously would have been disappointed when he was dumped from the first 11 against Syria, although he did come on after 11 or so minutes. And, you know, his post-game comments were a little bit overblown as well, where he stated his disappointment. He actually took to Twitter to, you know, correct himself because, you know, as I said, a lot more was made of it. So I think the camp is okay and they'll back him in. I mean, you know, most of these guys have been exposed to international football and quite often exposed probably earlier than what they should have been, thanks to Ange Postecoglou, and I think they're you know, eternally grateful for that.
Hey, Dave, I love Ange, and you know that I quite like Ange and everything he's done for the Socceroos and soccer in the country. I think he's doing a good job. That's just from me looking from the outside in. If he said to the media, and in particular the Sydney media, who seemed to have it in for Ange, if he told them, he said, hey, listen, I'm not sure what I'm doing. I'm not sure what's going to happen. If I get this gig in China, it's worth $4 million to me and my family over the next 3 or 4 years. That's kind of important to me and my family. So I haven't really made my mind up as yet, but I'll give you an answer soon. So if he spoke like that to the media, wouldn't we all just go, all right, no worries?
Yeah, maybe if he spoke like that, but probably left out the $4 million in China, because I think they'd, you know, the press and the public would have a field day for that matter. I mean, you know, obviously broke the story, and I still think he will stand down after November. And, you know, as much as he's looking at his own future, I think it's got more to do with, I guess, the chaos that is Australian football at the moment. So, you know, if a job pops up or doesn't in the coming weeks or months, I don't think that will determine his fate. I think he will step away regardless. And thereafter, he will then focus on his, you know, on his own future, which most likely will be abroad, in Europe or Asia. I'd say Asia if I was a betting man, and it obviously will be a more lucrative deal. But that Australian Story episode the other night, mm-hmm. which was a rehash of a 2015 episode, was pretty telling. I mean, he spoke about, or his wife spoke about, you know, them having to, you know, live at her parents' place when he came back from Greece. They were obviously, you know, strapped for cash. So, you know, considering where he's come from only 8 or 9 years ago, finances certainly are a consideration, and you can't begrudge him or anyone else for, you know, focusing on that at some stage in their life, for that matter.
Dave, last one. Bessart Berisha, when does he face the tribunal?
What are we, Wednesday? It's been a long week, boys. Tomorrow night, Thursday, in Sydney. And you know how seriously they're taking it when they're sending the player up. So Bess is going up there, along with Ian Robson, the CEO, and Paul Trimboli, their football chief. So, look, it's a big one, boys. It's really, it could be season-defining, this one, for Melbourne Victory. They have not, I mean, there's a four-game suspension that looms if he's found guilty.
That's the minimum, right?
Minimum 4 weeks, yeah, under the, you know, handling the official ruling. So in the last, what, 2.5 years that he's been at Victory, or 3 years, Muskie hasn't signed a backup striker because Best pretty much plays week in, week out. He's there, he's scoring goals. Now, beyond that, at the moment, there's only a bloke called Pierce Waring who's yet to make a senior debut, and he's 18 years of age. And then beyond that, it's just attacking midfielders such as James Troisi, Costa Barbarousis, and Joe Ingham, and they'll all be away for international duty for a couple of weeks. So it's really a real big case for Berisha and Melbourne Victory in particular.
Does he get off, yes or no?
Well, I reckon he's in trouble, boys. I really do.
4 weeks.
I reckon the fact that they've called him up, I reckon it's probably a 4 to 5 weeker. The fact that he's been called up to the tribunal, he's in a bit of trouble. And the telling thing, the yellow card that he received was actually for his challenge on the defender, Jordan Elsey, not the push on the fourth official. So that has left it open to the tribunal hearing. And Melbourne Victor will obviously plead that he was provoked by the fourth official, Daniel Elder, because he actually put his hands on him first for 8 or 9 seconds.
Righto, I reckon he gets off. Dave, thanks for joining us, mate. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Dave.
Good on you, boys.
Dave Davidovic, the Herald Sun chief soccer writer.
The Run Home with Ox and Marco. 3 till 7 weekdays on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy.